everybody. Good evening. Mike Malloy here. We apparently have some trouble with the live stream transmission tonight for sound, so you'll have to figure out a different way if you're listening online to get the show. We are absolutely surrounded here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains with tornadoes and supercell thunderstorms right now. I'm surprised we're still on the line or still on the air. So if the program all of a sudden shifts gears and it's obvious, then it'll be because we have been hit here somewhere, lost power, and our partners in Denver at Dial Global will immediately switch over to a pre-recorded program from God knows when that you've probably heard 100 times. But anyway, it is, like I say, we are absolutely surrounded by these tornadoes. There have, not to make light of this, there have already been about 20 people dead in Indiana, Alabama, I guess Kentucky, and these storms are moving southeast, which is, you know, where we live. For those who care, we do have what we think is adequate storm protection here in the Malloy compound. Our basement, which is underground, is concrete blocked, and that's where the studio is. We have gun ports, of course, so that when the time comes, you know, we can stick the barrel of the M50 through one of those gun ports. But anyway, we just wanted to let you know, if the program disappears, it'll just be a momentary disappearance, and then Dial Global will put something on. Lots of tornadoes here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. This is really astonishing. We haven't talked about it too much, but the global climate change that is so apparent now, except to the half-asses that identify themselves as conservative. They're not conservative. They're morons. They have their head about 40 feet up their ass. They're right-wingers. They have no idea what's going on. That's the part. You know, when you have to rely on people who don't have any idea what's going on, and the community sense is everybody worked together, but of course that's long gone. I mean, that disappeared 30 years ago. The right wing in this country decided to get rid of that concept, people working together. Oh, to hell with that. It's me. Oh my God. Anyway, when you have to rely on people who are this brain dead, who don't even accept the idea of global climate change.
Well, that's a liberal plot to bring communism to the United States. That's all that is.
I mean, what the hell are you going to do? What does it take for you morons to get it through your... Oh, never mind. I've had this discussion so many times. And it'll take nothing. But they keep being killed. You know, their God, if this is the way they want to look at it, keeps smashing them into little grease spots on the pavement in... In Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas and Georgia and Oklahoma, you know, the Bible Belt, where they ain't going to let no goddamn science get in the way. It says in the Bible, blah, 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 blah. So according to their way of thinking, you know, God with his omnipotent thumb reaches down here and so far tonight has smashed about 20 people into a grease spot on Highway 12 or whatever the hell highway they live next to. It's so sad. It's just so sad for this kind of nonsense. And you know, when tomorrow morning they'll have the reports on the Weather Channel and the network news and the local stations here in the Bible Belt, where you will see people who have just had everything blown away, everything that they own, people dead all around them. Mama's dead, neighbors are dead, cousin Susie's dead, all this death and destruction, and these people will stand there and say, well, you know, God was with us last night. God took care of us. I told my wife, hold on tight, dear. God will take... Yeah, but God killed your whole goddamn family, you moron. Are you saying that your God just, what, randomly butchers people? And he saved you for what? Well, you know, Malloy, you're a non-believer. But you know what? The Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to reveal. Just like Breitbart, God wanted him in heaven, so he called him home. You don't understand that. Oh, Jesus, God. Madness.
I was just going to say that the ones that God called home were probably the ones taking contraceptives.
Probably. God don't like no contraceptives. Ask any right-winger now, and they'll tell you. Hypocritical bastards. Did you see, we don't talk sports on this on this program, but good God. There is a developing scandal right now. It was on AOL Sportsline. New Orleans Saints players and at least one assistant coach maintained a bounty pool of up to $50,000 the last three seasons. And the function of the pool was to reward injuries inflicted on opposing teams, opposing players, game-ending injuries, including people like Brett Favre and Kurt Warner. That's according to the NFL. Knockouts, you know, where they would hit somebody so hard it would knock them out, where the players got $1,500 for that. Cart-offs, where somebody got obviously carted off the field, that's worth $1,000. Payments were doubled or tripled for the playoffs. The NFL said this afternoon that the pool amounts reached their height in 2009 for the New Orleans Saints. That's the year the Saints won the Super Bowl. So I guess it works, huh? Kill, kill. Faster, pussycat, kill. Good God. The NFL said between 22 and 27 defensive players were involved in the program. It was administered by the Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams with the knowledge of coach Sean Payton. Williams, now that he's been caught, said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was a terrible mistake. We knew it was wrong while we were doing it." That's what he said. We knew it was wrong while we were doing it. Did that stop you from doing it? No. Oh, Kathy, I'm just looking here at the emergency alert system, a tornado warning for us. Okay. All right, folks, we may be getting off the radio here in just a second. Civil authorities have issued a tornado warning for our county. Oh, to hell with it. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, the New Orleans Saints. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, of the National Football League said in a statement, quote, "The payments here are particularly troubling because they involve not just payments for performance, so-called, but also for injuring opposing players. The bounty rule," he went on, "promotes two key elements of NFL football, player safety and competitive integrity." Oh, please, Mr. Commissioner, competitive integrity? Are you kidding me? This is the National Football League. Okay, to the folks who are wondering, yes, we, oh my God. I'm looking at the local weather. No, you can't see it, Kathy. You gotta see this. We just got a warning on our weather radio apparatus here, and television. So we may be leaving the air momentarily, only if we're knocked off. I mean, as long as power's on, we'll keep broadcasting. And for those who are the least bit concerned about your humble and obedient servant and family, we could probably take a direct hit, I guess, couldn't we, Kathy? Our basement is surrounded with concrete block and lots of dirt. We are below ground. The upper part of the house is vulnerable, but if it happens, it happens. But if you want to see something creepy, go to the Weather Channel and take a look at what's going on here. But it's astonishing to me that this is, how do the Bible believers, how do the religious people deal with this? You know, they go to church all the time. They vote Republican. They think that Santorum walks on water and God comes along and greases them. I don't understand it. I really don't. Oh, well, it's not for me to question someone else's faith. You know what I'm saying? We'll be right back. Maybe.
Skin alligator.
Flying Monkeys Free Zone. We got a lot of houses and trees and mountains flying around here tonight. But, bad weather. But I guess we're still in the air, right? Okay. Is that a good thing? You know how many right wingers out there right now saying, "God damn! I hope a storm just hits him. I hope it rips that little Molly's head off too. Boy, I'm sick of her." You got to see some of the emails I got here in the past couple of days about. Today after that rant I went through last night about that filthy Breitbart. Some of the emails we got today are just priceless. I mean, they're just woo. I thought I had gotten the worst of what these right-wing toads could deliver, but not so much, man. You ought to read some of this stuff. Eventually, you'll have a chance to, trust me. You remember we told you about the woman who was denied communion at her mother's funeral because the priest was operating under the assumption that she is a lesbian? Nobody really knows what this woman's private sexual life is all about, but she lives with another woman, so the priest made that... let's call it a leap of faith. Does that work for you? Anyway, CNN's reporting that the woman who was denied communion by this priest while attending her mother's funeral is now speaking out about her experience. Her name is Barbara Johnson, and she confirmed details previously reported about the incident. Here in her words, she said, "I approached the priest, Father Marcel Guarnizo of Gaithersburg St. John Newman Catholic Church. I approached the priest to receive communion, and at that moment he placed his hand over the bowl containing the Eucharist." None for you! Nobody for you! Get out of my restaurant! No soup for you! No body of Christ for you! No! He put his hand over the Eucharist, she said, and looked into my eyes and said, "I cannot give you communion because you live with a woman, and in the eyes of the church, that is a sin." End quote. Jesus Christ, Kathy, I live with a woman. Oh, man.
Yeah, but I take birth control. So.
That's true. No Eucharist for you! A communion Nazi. Well, of course. Anyway, the woman, Barbara Johnson, says that the priest also left the altar as she was delivering her eulogy. Talk about disrespecting the dead. It's very easy to disrespect some piece of human dreck like Andrew Breitbart, but this woman was obviously a member of this priest's church. Oh, isn't Catholicism just glorious? Can I get an amen? I didn't hear you. There we go. So anyway, Barbara Johnson sent the priest an email, and no apology from this bastard yet. Meanwhile, as the Washington Post is reporting, the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Washington has since apologized in a statement, noting that the priest, now get this apology, get this, the priest has an obligation, quote, to handle such a situation pastorally by discussing the consequences of such sin with the person privately before actually denying them communion, end quote. Oh, isn't that special? Well, I'll be damned. So according to the Archdiocese, that's a nest of these Catholic thugs in Washington, the priest was a little bit out of line, not completely, but he should have taken the woman aside and said to her, "Look, honey, I know your mother is lying in the box over there. I know she's dead, but, you know, God damn it, you're a lesbian. You're a lesbian. You're living in mortal sin. Jesus said so. Jesus said, not blessed are the lesbians." You didn't know that? He did. So tell you what, I can't let you eat the body of Jesus. I can't let you drink his blood today. Okay? I just can't do it. I'm sorry. But you're a sinner, so no cannibalism for you today. Ooh. Apparently, that's what he was supposed to do. As the woman, Barbara Johnson, noted, quote, "My family is very appreciative of all the outreach we've received. However, we believe the only reason to be talking about this still is because we would not want any other family to go through what was the worst experience on the very worst day of all of our lives. We feel that it's important that this priest is removed from parish life." End quote. I would suggest something a little bit more astringent. We'll be right back. Maybe. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Redefining Anger Management, back to Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Speaking of that priest saying to the woman who was seeking communion at a funeral mass and refused, the priest refused to be a priest in that moment. As Roz, because she lives with a woman, as Roz points out, nuns live together. Are they denied communion? That, you know, that's all the guy said to her. That's all the priest said to her. You live with another woman, and, you know, that's sinful. You rancid bastard. When are the Republicans going to speak out about this filthy hunk of poison, Rush Limbaugh? When's that going to happen? I understand three or four of his major advertisers have bailed. It's time. You know, it really is time to pull the plug on this son of a bitch. To Premier Radio Network, you people should be ashamed. I mean, you really should. Distributing that guy, oh, you're gonna say it's entertainment, right?
Oh, well, he's just entertaining, Malloy.
Was Hitler entertaining? Huh? Is a guy who walks in the street and guns down homeless people, is he entertaining? Was the guy that tried to assassinate Gabriel Giffords, was he entertaining? Come on, Premier Radio Network. You have a publicly held license. You have been spewing poison across this country for years. Why don't you pull the plug on this son of a bitch now? Don't you think? Send him to internet heaven like a Beck got banished to. Nah, as long as there's money to be made, huh? The Detroit Free Press, of all places, had an editorial today. Brian Dickerson wrote, there's a school of thought that holds the best way to deal with something like Rush Limbaugh is to ignore him. The way you might avoid calling attention to a toddler who has just puked all over your new sofa, or a demented great uncle who starts spewing racial epithets at the Thanksgiving table. There's a lot to be said for this approach. Ignoring isolated assaults on civility generally diminishes their impact and accelerates their transit to oblivion. Drawing attention to the offender or assisting that others join in a formal denunciation of his indiscretion tends to accomplish exactly the opposite. The danger is that what passes for discreet silence, when this kind of behavior is overlooked once or twice, may be interpreted as acquiescence. When such behavior goes unremarked again and again and again. So I'd like to propose that it is time for politicians, commentators, and sponsors who wish to remain in good standing as members of the civilized world to put some distance between themselves and the hate-mongering sociopath who calls himself Rush Limbaugh. What a filthy, filthy, disgusting man. And the hostage that is his wife. I mean, I can only imagine. Somebody's got a picture of her out there now. And I can't imagine. I look at this picture and I think, okay, you really do exist. You are you appear to be a human being. What does it take for a woman to decide that she wants to share a toilet and a bed and a refrigerator with this Jabba the Hutt? I mean, what is that? Or to have his fingers exploring her nether part, her lady parts. How do you do that? A Limbaugh, by any definition, is grotesque. I mean, just physically grotesque. He looks like a huge porcine rat. But how does an otherwise, one assumes, intelligent woman do that? You know, I've asked this before. I'll ask it again. He's had, what, four or five marriages? A couple of, a woman I used to work with at CNN wound up living with him for a while. I forget her name. She's gone. I don't know. It's just been too weird. Too weird this week, listening to this. Seeing the United States Senate and presidential candidates just pulling out all the stops, railing against women. Oh, trying to cover it up with this religious garbage, this religious cover vomit nonsense. But this is, I mean, it's just out there now, isn't it? And then the pig man doing this, attacking a woman repeatedly. And this sociopathic bastard, I mean, every time it's mentioned, he does this with global climate change. He does it with any effort to try to stabilize international relations. He's a warmonger. He had a cyst on his ass that kept him out of service in Vietnam. He just went and hid under his mother's petticoats. Oh, I've got a boil on my ass. I can't go. I mean, I just... It's just been a pretty intense week. It's just been a very, very intense week. We're going to open up the phone lines because I know some of you would like to make some comments about what has transpired this week. And bottom of the next hour, we're going to do podcast trivia. So if you get on the line to make a comment, you may be asked next hour to play trivia. The number here is 877-996-2556. I love this from yahoonews.com. Andrew Breitbart's unexpected death on Thursday has sparked a swift outpouring of grief and remembrances, but also the inevitable conspiracy theories about the timing of his demise. Speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C. last month, Breitbart claimed he had damning videos of Barack Obama and planned to release them before the general election. He told the CPAC crowd back then, quote, this is before he died, "We are going to vet Obama from his college days to show you why racial division and class warfare are central to what hope and change was sold in 2008. I know the sentence makes no goddamn sense at all, but that's the now, is he still dead? The now dead Breitbart. Steve Bannon, a friend of Breitbart's, told Fox News's Sean Hannity that the tapes of Obama at Harvard do exist and that they would be released in a week or two. The news quickly sent conservative bloggers still shocked by Breitbart's sudden death into a frenzy. Paul Joseph Watson, writing at Infowars.com, said, "In a stunning coincidence, it appears Andrew Breitbart suffered his untimely death just hours before he was set to release damning video footage that could have sunk Barack Obama's 2012 re-election campaign." Jesus Christ. And then there's conservative blogger Lawrence Sinclair, referenced a conversation he had with Breitbart in D.C. 3 weeks before. Quote, Andrew said, Wait till they see what happens March 1st. Sinclair wrote, Sinclair also took issue with the wording of Breitbart's death announcement as it was posted at biggovernment.com. Sinclair said claims that Andrew died of natural causes are the opinions of his attorney and not the statements of any medical personnel from L.A. County. All right, let me set it straight. I had him murdered! And you know I did it? He was out walking at night, wasn't he, huh? That's what he was doing, right? He was walking. I hired a whole bunch of trolls. I did. Little creatures about 2 feet tall with fangs. And we waited until Breitbart was in the shadows, and then they all jumped out and went, bleh! We knew he had a weak heart. And over he went, thud. And then that person across the street got on the cell phone and called for rescue. So I had my trolls go over and pinch his nose shut and hold his mouth shut. And it worked! Yeah! Bleh! Now you know. Sick. Greg is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Greg.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, what's up?
I love you to death, dude. You're crazy, this brain roach.
Oh, man, really?
No, but listen. I posted a couple of things about Limbaugh today.
Yeah?
And it's amazing. You know, most rational people say he's crazy, he's a scumbag, he's nuts, he should be gone.
Right.
And, you know, some of his sponsors are dropping the ball on him. Well, you know, that makes sense. That makes common sense. But when a woman, I can even go along with the guy who got on the thread on Facebook.
Hey, Greg, hold on a second. I got to do some commercial. Hold on. We'll come right back. Don't go away. Let me do these commercials. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 10 before the hour, we're talking to Greg in Minneapolis. All right, Greg, where were we?
Well, basically I was saying that I posted on Facebook some information about Rush Limbaugh's deal and how people were dropping their advertising from him and things of that nature. And of course, I expected to get at least one. Funny thing about right-wing extremist people, their beliefs and their thoughts, they like to keep among themselves. And whenever somebody calls them out,
right,
they get really quiet like church mice. But one, there's always one that says, I'll challenge this. And he goes on talking about how he's entitled to his opinion and blah, blah, blah. And nobody says anything when the left makes bad statements.
Right.
And I said, look, dude, this has nothing to do with politics. This is about women. This is about a guy who goes on the air and basically calls every woman who wants
birth control
to use contraceptives,
right,
of any kind, a slut and a prostitute.
Right. Right.
And that doesn't affect you because I'm sure at some point either you are hatched or you have a mom somewhere or a sister or a cousin or somebody's female.
Right.
And that doesn't bother you. You're nuts. But then to have a woman come on that thread and say, well, it was, I would say that it was probably inappropriate, like John Boehner said, but I wouldn't say it was that harsh. And I said, really?
I mean, well, you know, you know what kind of women they are. Those are women who have been so psychically slaughtered by right-wing men and by Christian men, just pounded into the ground. And all those women want is a little pat on their head, on their heads from some pig like Limbaugh, as long or whatever man is in their life that has taught them to be just constantly humiliated and to appreciate the humiliation, because that's all they're ever going to get is humiliation from you know, the right-wing boyfriends or husbands or both if they happen to have them. But it's that kind of woman to me. I can't. That's like a Reagan Democrat, so-called, back in the day. You know, somebody who is a working-class person who would vote for Reagan. Insanity, madness, craziness.
Well, that's the exact point I made, and I also said that the reason why I'm so upset, because I got really upset today about this, yeah. And I said the reason why I'm so upset, and it probably triggered it, is because to me, that was equivalent to Rush Limbaugh going on the air and calling me a nigger to my face.
Yeah.
On the air.
Now, wait a minute.
It's the same equivalent.
Are you an African-American?
No, I'm a black man. I like black a lot better.
Okay, all right. But I'm just saying. I mean, I got to be careful with that kind of language. You can use it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I'm a black guy, and it's equivalent. And to me, to have any woman, I don't care who her husband is.
Right.
I don't care who her. I don't care if she's Rush Limbaugh's wife. To condone that, let alone sit by it idly and say, it was inappropriate. Yes, but it wasn't that harsh. How harsh can it be?
Right.
How harsh does it need to get before people? But you know what I say about this, Mike? I've had this conversation with you maybe a month or two ago, and it's kind of like when somebody's getting choked to death,
mm-hmm.
When do they say the loudest, craziest stuff at the point where they think they're going to die?
Right.
It seems to me that all of these right-wing, conservative, crazy nutcases, fascist idiots, are screaming as loud and crazy as they can right now. It's almost like they're saying, please Barack Obama win again. And I'm not really a big, I don't really have a lot of stake. I don't have a horse. I'm like George Carlin. I don't have a horse in that race.
I hear you.
But in the same respect, it's like they're begging, please, can't you see we're crazy?
Yeah.
Do something about us.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, put us out of our misery. Somebody, please.
Put us out of our misery.
It's
almost like they're saying, I'm a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. I know that the world is moving forward. I know that man is evolving. Please take me out so I don't have to live in that wonderful world that you're trying to create. Take me out now. I don't have the capacity to be in it. So it's insane. But, brother, I appreciate every flying monkey you shoot out of the air. I appreciate everything you do every day, dude. Believe me.
Well, Greg, thanks a lot for checking in. You make excellent excellent point. Thank you, Greg. Take care. And if you're driving, drive safe. All right? Take care, Greg. He may be right. Greg may be right. Put me out of my misery. Kill me now, please. But obviously, we are watching the death of the Republican Party. Yeah, it's been dying slowly of 1,000 little razor cuts. But these guys like Limbaugh and Santorum and Beck and the rest of them, they got the long knives out. They're just stabbing and hacking and butchering. And the Republican Party, what you're watching is the death of the Republican Party, and it is changing into the fascist party of America, the U.S. Fascist Party.
I have to ask a question, and Chris Matthews asked this question of some female legal analyst he had on the air today. But the question that I had, it was the same thing. I mean, I thought about this a couple days ago, and I thought, well, why isn't anybody? Is Limbaugh so stupid? Literally, or does he think we're stupid that he believes that every time a woman has sex, she has to take a birth control?
Obviously, he does.
Is he that dumb, or does he knows better and he just wants to sell this point home? He thinks that birth control pills are like Viagra.
Well, you know what it is?
He thinks woman's having so much sex, she needs all these pills.
He thinks his audience is that stupid.
Well, that's my point.
Right.
I mean, he's been married, 14 times, and none of his many, many wives in his harem and have never been on birth control pills that he's never seen one of these packs.
Well, they probably all have been. I mean, who would want
to? He doesn't have any kids, right?
Who would want to have something produced by Limbaugh up inside their womb, right, and then have to go through having this thing crawl out? I mean, of course they all take birth control.
Okay, so he's never seen a pack of pills that have the, you know, the three white rows and the one pink row.
He probably had no idea what they were.
Honestly, to think that, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Malloy program. Coming back here. Well, let's just go right back. Bruce is in California. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good evening.
Hey.
I don't know what I can add to the Rush Limbaugh debate, actually. I mean, debate. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, right.
I listen to the guy. I shake my head. My gut tightens up. And I say, I just can't understand how any woman could ever vote Republican. I mean, you know,
I
don't understand it. I don't know if you heard Romney's comment. He was asked about Rush Limbaugh. He says, well, it's not the language I would have used.
Well, oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't say what the language was that he would have used, of course.
You know, the Chris Matthews at MSNBC has it right. Limbaugh is the absolute Jabba the Hutt of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
He controls everything. And to say that he's just an entertainer is ridiculous. There's not a Republican in the House or the Senate who dares resist Limbaugh's comments. And the reason for it is not so much that they love Limbaugh or think he's a god. They're just terrified of him because Limbaugh has to do is go on the air and with his millions of brain dead ditto heads. And he does have millions. They are legion. They're like the evil spirits that Jesus drove out of the pigs. Remember from the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's what Limbaugh has. These evil spirits that are all over this country. All he has to do is focus on a particular district and say, well, now I think maybe we ought to vote for somebody else. And this is what these Republicans fear. Consequently, they show their true colors. They don't have the courage to stand up for decency or to come right out and unequivocally say, this is a horrid statement to be making about women. They won't do it.
Bill O'Reilly came out in support of Limbaugh, made a very similar comment tonight.
Who did?
Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised.
Either, but I mean, just making the point that he did so.
Oh, my God.
And spoke about, having to pay for this woman to have sex.
What is wrong with these people? That's not the issue. What am I saying? Why am I acting like they're rational?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then there was on Media Matters, I was looking up a link to Limbaugh's statements, a video link to it on Media Matters. And there was a Twitter post from one of the Ditto heads, and he said that she's not a slut. She's a, shameless rent-a-cooch from Whoresville.
Oh, my God.
Whoresville.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's what the hell this idiot posted on a Twitter tweet, you know.
How do people in this country still have any doubt that the current configuration of the Republican and religious right absolutely hate women? How can anyone doubt that?
It's so obvious that
I know.
I wonder. I can't understand it myself because it seems so bloody obvious that anybody with half a brain should see it.
It is. All right. Well, listen, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate you checking in.
I thought I'd call in and say hi.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Take care. Bruce in California. This hour is being sponsored by Alma. Thank you, Alma. This is her message. Hi, Amy. This is for your double nickel birthday. That would be 55, wouldn't it, Amy? Happy birthday, Amy. Alma goes on. My real sponsorship is for Molly. You are a darling. You are lucky to have mom and dad to teach. You are lucky to have mom and dad to teach. Cherish this education like all their listeners. Congrats on your sales of cookies, Alma. Thank you, Alma. That's very kind. And happy birthday, Amy, who is 55. I remember 55. From GK in, I guess it'd be Kim in Minnesota. Kim writes, Mike, I watched a little bit of Tim Murphy. That's the Republican member of Congress from the Pennsylvania 18th District. Watched a little bit of Tim Murphy grilling Ms. Sebelius today. Well, she's the Health and Human Services, right? Yeah, Secretary. And I have to wonder, are these guys for real? No, we can't have any science here, just religious freedom. I sure hope the Republicans alienate women so that they start cutting off their husbands and boyfriends. If they do that, then, well, maybe we can call the Republicans job creators because they might legalize prostitution, thus creating jobs, right? She said, tongue-in-cheek. Yes, maybe Tim Murphy should consult with Ron Paul about the morning after pill as to what its capabilities are. But you know these teabaggers. Facts. We don't need no stinking facts. It is sort of entertaining watching these guys, though, the two top contenders. I could have been a contender, but I digress. Go further and further off the scale of crazy and stupidity, meaning Santorum and Romney. This little sideshow with Murphy, the representative from Pennsylvania, is like the second game of a doubleheader. He, at one time, compared one of Ms. Sebelius's answers to him and his little sideshow to the purchase of tires. Something he said he just did. Yes, these guys are definitely worth the price of admission because you never really know what's going to happen next. I sure wish I could send sound with this note. The sound would be the jingle from the circus. So keep up the good work, Mike. And like one viewer said in a message, keep stripping the bark off these rat bastards. Kim in Minnesota. Thank you, Kim. My God. Paul's in Canton, Georgia. Paul, before you say anything, are you still alive?
So far, yeah.
What's the tornadoes up there and everything?
Yeah, they missed us so far. It's storming again real bad. Now another one's coming over the house.
Oh, my God. All right. Well,
you lose me, the power went out.
if you're okay being... Oh, you're on a cell phone.
No, I'm on a...
You're on a landline?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Two quick things. I don't think Limbaugh's other halves have to worry about contraceptive because he can't get it up anyway, so...
Is that what it is?
I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, it's probably part of it. Yeah.
And
he's angry at all the people who can.
Exactly. That's exactly what that's why they're so involved in everyone else's sex life, because they're not doing anything.
There you go.
And with Andrew Breitbart, I two comments about him. One was, I know you're not supposed to say this, but I was glad that he died. I hope he takes a couple more people with him, is what I'd like to have happen. But and the fact that people are saying that he was some kind of a, what they say, he was fearless.
Yeah,
fearless.
Right.
Why would
right.
he release complete tape of everything he did instead of editing and splicing everything to get an answer he wants,
right.
not what they really said.
Wasn't he fearless the way he attacked Shirley Sherrod? Wasn't that fearless? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was so fearless.
I mean, I could care less if these people drop dead. They're such a bunch of scum. They remind me of, like, Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
With less brain.
I hear you.
Well, I hope you guys have a good night. I hope the storm don't hit you too bad.
All right, you too. Man, you're right in it. You know, I'm watching Channel 2. I'm watching, what's his name, Glenn Burns. People in the rest of the country don't understand this, but Glenn Burns is on the cover of the New York Times about a month ago about this phenomenal weather equipment that they have at this Metro Atlanta television station. It even exceeds what they have at the Weather Channel, which is also based here in the Atlanta area. And I'm looking right now, and it looks like you're right under it. You be careful, okay?
Oh, yeah. You guys too.
Okay, Paul, take care. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. I don't know. Is this from Prairie too? Yeah, he writes, how do we know for sure that Breitbart is really dead? A statement from his lawyer? With vermin, we require that a tail be submitted in order to collect the bounty. Oh, Bruce! Oh, my goodness! That's pretty, pretty right on. I wish I would have said it myself. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
On a poor man's vacation. They cuffed him and they confiscated his stuff. And they dragged his black ass down to the station and said, okay, streets are safe now. All your pretty white children can come out and see Spider-Man. And they came out of their houses and they looked around, but they didn't see no one in my country. 'Tis of they today swings at each other on talk show TV. Why don't you just go ahead and turn off the sun? 'Cause we'll...
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. After the next break, we're going to do podcast trivia. So if you happen to be online here waiting, you'll have a chance to win a one-year subscription free to Malloy Program Podcasts, commercial-free. Steven is in Burbank. Hello, Steven.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Well, when it was, Breitbart checked out, and my first thought was, I'm going to sit this one out. The other listeners, they're going to send in the commentary or call in with the commentary, and everything they said was exactly what I would want to say. My subject line would have been The Wicked Witch.
Right.
You know, and then I would have started off the email, hi, Mike, I don't feel guilty about not feeling diminished.
And so
the guy was anthropomorphized. He was the personification of pure evil.
Oh, he was. I mean,
well, yeah. And it's like it's somehow crazy, but I don't hate the guy. But when I hear a snippet of something he said or something he did, then I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes away, and I forget about it, and then I don't hate him anymore. But you know, I mean, what can I say? There's a thing in the Old Testament in Proverbs that says the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And I had a hatred of evil. And so, if I hate evil, then that means that I fear the Lord, so therefore the Lord must exist. And that is pure propaganda. I mean, it's the way that capitalist propaganda operates, you know, with values, you know?
Right.
And the right... And I'm sorry, boss, were you going to comment?
No, go ahead.
Okay,
no, I'm just listening. I'm listening, man.
Oh, cool. Well, what it is like, they'll take a thing like family, it's a good thing. They'll take a word like values, it's a good thing. And then they'll attach this, well, in order to have this, you have to have that.
Right.
And that's how it works. And Breitbart was an expert at that. I mean, he just went and dug in and, you know, and he called us evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if we're evil or not. Who can define what evil is? You know, and if you know, I was kind of looking forward to maybe, you know, finding him someplace and then talking to him and saying something like, well, you know, when you see a child walking home from school in a depressed neighborhood, do you want that child to hijack your car at the intersection, or do you want that child to save your life on the freeway with the jaws of life after a terrible car crash?
Right,
you know, stuff
right.
like that.
But it wouldn't have registered.
I know. But here's what's cool. The response would have been something that would have hit me between the eyes and woken me up, because this is why I continue to debate with right-wingers, because they come out of the blue with something. And this is the way the Shaolin priest did it, you know, in China. I mean, I saw Kung Fu, and the raiders would come in and beat them up and stuff, and they would observe how they moved so that their moves would be predictable. And next time they come in, you know, they'll know that they're going to make that move, and they have something to counter it with. And that's why I constantly engage with right-wingers.
Well, since I'm not a Shaolin priest, the only time I would feel comfortable engaging with a right-winger on the level you're talking about is with a club.
Yeah, well, I had 4 years of sport judo at the Japanese American Community Center.
Well, there you go.
And it guess what? It did help out at times. It
well, yeah, oh, sure. Oh, there's no question. Kathy and I took, for 2 years, we took Tai Chi. A lot of people ask me, you know, you're going to bust a gut. You're going to rip your brains out. You're going to have a stroke. And you know, if they only knew, that's not the case at all. You know, we contain and control this negativity that flows through this program by releasing it. I know sometimes on the program, I talk about reaching the end of my rope. And in that moment, I may be, but like a lot of people who have figured out, okay, if you're going to do this, you got to release this negativity. You've got to let it flow back into the sewer where it came from. And, you know, as you have learned, as I think Sanchez, I know a lot of people listen to this program, a lot of people in the chat room every night, they know how to do this. So you're not absorbing and accumulating all this toxicity that comes from these right wingers. And you know, I kind of agree with the spirit of what I think you're saying. In so many instances, these people come across to me. It reminds me of when I was a kid, and I used to watch bugs fight each other, watch a couple of ladybugs fight, or watch something fly into a spider web and struggle to get out. That's how I see these Republicans sometimes. It's fascinating, but they're just, you know, they're bugs. So it, you know, it doesn't really in the great scheme of things matter that much, I guess, right? I mean, bugs matter, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we had more time, you just reminded me of an experience I had. It's a little bit depressing, but it is the absolute truth. It is existentialist reality.
Well, can you hold on to it for a second and let me take a break? And when we come back, you've already played, you've played podcast trivia, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I won it twice.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me put you on hold.
Okay, boss.
I'll come back after the break. We'll chat for a minute, and then we're going to do podcast trivia, it looks like, with Dave in Cordova, Alaska. Is that where he is? Oh, that's right. We've talked to Dave before. All right. Stay there, Dave. Stay there, Steven. Stay there, Charlie. We'll be right back. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Alma. Thank you, Alma. She has a message here. Hi, Amy. This is for your double nickel birthday. And my real sponsorship, Alma Rice, is for Molly. To Molly, you're a darling. You're lucky to have mom and daddy to teach. Cherish this education like all their listeners. Congrats on all your sales of cookies. Oh, That's very sweet. Thank you, Alma. All right, back to Stephen. All right, Stephen, go ahead.
Okay, I hope we don't regret this. I hope it isn't too depressing. But I like to save bees. You know, they can't fly. I bring out some honey or some sugar, and they take it, and then they flap their wings, and they fly away. And this one time, I did that with the bee, and it took everything nice and buzzed around my head, thank you, and then zip, straight into a spider's web. Sorry about that.
So the point is...
Well, the next time I go to save a bee, I'm going to destroy the spider web.
I see.
The spider can live through it, and I'll have to suffer through a few more flies, but heck, what the heck.
The bee will live. I get it. Okay.
And another silver lining is Breitbart is not here to torment us anymore.
That's so true. All right.
Okay, Buzz.
Thanks, Stephen.
For sure.
Take care. All right. It is time. Time once again for podcast trivia, where you can win a one-year subscription podcast downloads to the Malloy Program, commercial free, in your email, on your cell phone, your iPad, your iPod, every morning. All you have to do is get the right answer. And Dave is in Cordova, Alaska. Hello, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hello, Michael. Good to hear you, my friend.
I thought a polar bear got you there for a minute.
No, actually, it's just we're still getting snowed on pretty good. Shannon Moore just reported that one of the major churches in Anchorage collapsed under the snow load. So,
oh, no.
God knows.
All right. Are you ready to play podcast trivia, Dave?
It's my moment on the stage.
It is indeed. The spotlight is shining. All right. Here we go. Here's your question. This week, the nationally famous and deeply revered right-wing leader of the United States, Rush Limbaugh, used his incredibly popular radio program to say or insinuate which of the following about a woman attending Georgetown University. A, she's a slut. B, she's a prostitute. C, she can't get enough sex and wants taxpayers to pay for her birth control. D, her parents should be ashamed of her wanton sexual licentiousness. E, he wants to see videotapes of her engaged in sexual intercourse. F, all of the above.
They're crying out loud.
Yeah. F it is. All right, Dave. You... boy, that was a real toughie. All right, you win. You get the now don't hang up when we're finished with the call here, and Kathy will get the information. I cannot believe. Can you believe that somebody in this country who has been on the radio as long as Limbaugh has, who has such a massive, devoted audience, who has all the power that anyone could ever want without being a king or a dictator, and he has to attack a woman who is simply trying to lobby for birth control inclusion in an insurance plan? I mean, if that's not an example, very clear example, of a sociopath, Rush Limbaugh, I don't know what is.
Witness the portrait of Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
And in the final portion, in the final meltdown, the guy has gone so far out. He's wound up in his ego to the point that he doesn't know what he's saying. He's given in to his innermost evil impulses to make statements like in front of his presupposed audience of fundamentalist Tea Partyists, etc. He makes a statement that he wants to watch live sex. It's barbaric.
Oh, I know.
It's nude around the fire in a cave. It is so bizarre. I just when I heard that replayed, I just went, this guy is gone.
I know, and I guess, you know, the old axiom, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If anybody has political power in this country, it's Rush Limbaugh. He says things, and you remember Michael Steele, former head of the Republican Party. Michael Steele made some offhand remark about Limbaugh. Limbaugh forced poor Michael Steele to come on his program and lick Limbaugh's feet the very next day. And Michael Steele was willing to do it. Every single one of these Republicans sits in abject terror of this filthy, filthy lump of flesh. It's just incredible. I don't understand that.
It's Father Coughlin. It's Adolf Hitler. It's the power of somebody to gain attention and to give simple-minded people enough attitude and identification of themselves with this powerful voice. They take all of their frustrations and they channel them through something like that. And anytime another human being can turn around and put somebody else below them when they are already down and out and ignorant or stupid, you know, Limbaugh filled a void that suddenly became a seductive drug to these people, and hey, I can just go about my business. I don't have to think about it. It'll roast doing my thinking.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's so true. I mean, he spent 20 years telling people that they didn't have to think, just listen to what he had to say. But he gave people permission to attack people who could not defend themselves. He gave people permission to be bigots and bullies and the kind of coward that only moves in packs rather than individually. And I can remember back in the day, and probably still now, I would just love to have a few minutes alone. I mean, truly alone with Rush Limbaugh. You know what I'm saying? I get that feeling. I was talking about this the other night about one of the reasons I went off on this dead son of a bitch Breitbart the other night, and my listeners did, is because we all understand that these people have the kind of power that they use strictly for negative ends, to poison political discourse, to demonize people who can't fight back, and that the media establishment in this country won't expose them for the filthy pigs that they are. So when one of them dies, all I can do is celebrate. All I can do is jump up and down and fire off firecrackers and say, yeah, goddammit, okay, media wouldn't stand up, Republicans wouldn't stand up, you know, my little 25-cent radio program doesn't matter, so guess what? You're dead! And that gives me great satisfaction. Am I ashamed of that? Hell no.
No, it's like you said last night, you know, back in the day, hey, brothers, fathers,
They would have gone after Limbaugh and just beat his ass senseless. Making a statement like that, even in front of two or three people, but making it in front of his 10 million listeners. Back in the day, the father, the brothers, the cousins, the men would have gone up to Limbaugh, found him, went through his protective his security people, dragged him to the street and pummeled his ass into just a bloodied huge chunk of meat, you know?
And that's where I say I see him as a reflection of the portrait of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde when he finally, he's so enamored of himself that
right
he melts in his own mirror.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't forget what happens to him. Hey, yeah. Dave, let me put you on hold. Kathy's going to get the pertinent information. Thank you so much for the conversation and congratulations on winning the podcast, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate you.
All right, hold on. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I just had another thought. This whole Limbaugh thing has me very reclamped, as you might say.
Yeah.
But isn't it astonishing how, yet again, you have Rush Limbaugh demanding privacy for himself when he wants to stash a bunch of Viagra in his suitcase on his way back from the Dominican Republic, or when he wants to score some illegal drugs in a parking lot from his maid, and then bitches about when the public wants to make a stink about it, because, hey, it's his private life, right? Private life. But the rest of the world, especially the female world, isn't allowed any privacy. We're not to have privacy in our bedrooms. We're not to have privacy over our own bodies. And he feels that it's perfectly appropriate for him to get on the air and call women sluts and whores and prostitutes if we want to practice birth control,
mm-hmm.
or if we just want to take birth control pills to regulate our hormones.
It's do you mind if I say something about you regarding that?
Not a bit.
Kathy does that specifically for hormone regulation because she has you say it.
Sure. Well, I mean, the original diagnosis a million years ago was polycystic ovarian syndrome, which was secondary infertility actually due to my hyperinsulinism. I'm insulin resistant, which is what they now know is the original cause of everything. But I took birth control pills from my teenage years up until you and I tried to have Molly, not to prevent pregnancy. I would have loved to have had babies,
mm-hmm.
but strictly because I had to,
right.
or I would have gotten, my ovaries would have become so cystic, I would have had to have them removed.
Right. Now, if you...
And if I did have to have a cyst removed.
If you were to write that down and email it to Limbaugh, not that you ever would, he wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
He'd call me a slut.
Yeah, a slut or a whore. We'll be right back.
We have sex on television.
On television. What? There's something in there. Just got lost. 10 before the hour. This is a Malloy program. This hour has been sponsored by Alma. And her message, hi, Amy. This is for your double nickel birthday. And my real sponsorship is for Molly. You are a darling. You are lucky to have mom and daddy to teach you. Cherish this education like all their listeners. Congratulations on your sales of cookies, Alma. Well, that's very kind, Alma. We don't educate anybody, of course. We do try to educate Molly, but, it's because she's a kid. But it's a nice sentiment. Thanks. Thanks, Alma. And thanks for the, sponsorship, too. Charlie is in Placerville, California. Hello, Charlie.
Do I need to turn my radio down?
yeah, probably.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a virgin, so be gentle with me.
Well, I don't know about that.
First-time caller.
Yeah?
But it's not my last.
First-time caller, long-time listener, right?
Yes. Yes. Finally got up to cell minutes. That I can afford to call you.
Well, there you go.
Hey, you know, this Limbaugh piece of ball of crap is the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a particular horse in this relation in this election.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to pick I gotta pick the lesser of the evils.
Yeah.
And Obama to me is at least that.
Yeah.
That seems like all we ever get to do in this country is pick the lesser of the evils.
It does seem that way sometimes, but that's only because we all are too lazy and
exactly.
too uninvolved to change that.
And uninformed.
That
I'm the second most informed person in the world besides you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I really live and breathe this political stuff.
Well, watch your blood pressure and,
I do have to watch my blood pressure.
Yeah, and be careful of colon spasms. I get those occasionally too.
You do? Yeah, really? Well, you know, also I gotta say too, and you may not agree with this, but they, this behavior of all of these Mitts and Romneys and Limbaughs, they really are helping Obama out a lot.
No, I agree. I agree.
Know, and I feel like it's a godsend.
Well, it is for people who are unequivocal.
If I believe in God, I could believe that.
Well, for people who are unequivocal in their support for Barack Obama, this is a blessing to the 10th power. And for those of us who want to see the Republican Party just die, just go up in flames, it's also a blessing because people in this country are having a chance now, if they're paying attention, to see how filthy and degenerate and so sociopathic the right-wingers are.
Yeah, really. They're just awful people. I just withdrew from
my wife likes to dance.
Yeah.
And so I was going dancing, but everybody there is a conservative geek. And I just said, hey, I'm not going dancing anymore. I don't want to be around those people.
Well, I
just can't do it.
You can always dance at home.
I do. Every chance I get.
There you go.
But I think this is really a godsend, and I don't like Democrats right now or Republicans.
Well, I'm with you on that. By the way, Charlie. Yeah.
They're the problem with our government. It's not an election anymore. It's an auction.
Yeah.
And I can't write a big enough check.
I hear you.
You know, I'm living on Social Security. I just can't write a big enough check.
No, and even if you weren't on Social Security, you still couldn't. Nobody can. There's only a handful of them, and they're writing enormous checks, and they're going to decide with their money who is going to run against Obama, and then Obama's people are going to decide with their money how to defeat the people who are running against the incumbent president. That's the way it is, and it's only that way, though, because, like I said a minute ago, we're too uninvolved and too disinterested to do something about it.
Exactly right. And, you know, what people want to blame government, but, you know, we are the government. If we had a strong government, we could put an end to a lot of this stuff, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm sitting here looking at these big old gas-guzzling cars running up and down the road. What the hell do they need these double-wheeled passenger cars for and everything like that? But people want to have them in there, and they want to pollute this world because the government is too lily-livered against the oil companies and the car companies to do anything about it.
Well, it's also...
because they're bought and paid for.
Don't you also think, Charlie, too, it's because people like to show off their big carness?
Exactly.
All right, Charlie, listen, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much. I hope you you felt that I was gentle with you. Everything's cool. I hope you'll call in again. And good to hear from you, Charlie. Take care. Ray is in Oakdale, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
We just talked a couple weeks ago.
We did indeed.
I will say to you what I said to your sacred wife, all right?
Okay.
I heard this precious young woman, Sandra Fluke,
right.
I heard her on Democracy Now, and I just heard her on your news break a little while ago.
Uh-huh.
You could hear the tears in her voice. This thing, and please don't call it a man, this thing called Rush Limbaugh has to go. It'd be, as we say up here in Minnesota, it would be a real hoot if he died this week.
Well,
Sorry, man. I hate the guy.
Yeah, I share your sentiment. You know, this guy has been poisoning everything across the fruited plain, coast to coast and border to border for the past 25 years. And other than his family and his more fanatical, mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging supporters, when he does finally die, I don't think anybody's really going to miss him. And I guarantee to you that the air is going to be cleaner and clearer, and be one less poisonous pustule that just keeps pumping it into the body politic in this country. I kind of look forward to that day, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Ray, gotta leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Big break here. We'll be back. Stick around. All right? I'm Mike Malloy. That was really fun last night. The first hour of the program. Or did it go longer than that? Iowa has become the first state to pass legislation that makes it a crime to surreptitiously get into a farming operation to videotape animal abuse. The this legislation passed the Iowa Senate and House this past Tuesday. Now it goes to Iowa's governor, Terry Branstad, who has 3 days to decide whether to sign it. I guess we'll know on Monday. A spokesman for the governor said the governor would study the bill before making a decision, but the spokesman noted that the governor was impressed by the support that this measure had in both chambers. The bill passed the Senate 40-10, and then was approved by the House 69-28. Now, let's see. It's not a crime if you work for a farming operation. You're already there, and you see the kind of animal abuse that PETA and other animal groups have made public. I mean, some really horrific stuff. If you believe, if you're a Christian, and I know a lot of you Christians aren't Christians at all. You're, I don't know what the hell you are, but you're not Christians. But if you believe your own religious bull hockey, you don't believe in torturing any of your God's creatures. I mean, the admonition in Genesis to go and have dominion over all the beasts of the field and the worms and the birds of the sky and the fishes of the sea, that didn't mean go beat them up and smack them and kill them and tear them to pieces and eat them and rip their heads off and bleed them while they're still alive. You know what I mean? I wish every Christian would go to a slaughterhouse just once and just observe. Observe. And then, no, you don't have to be a vegan or a vegetarian or even somebody who won't eat hot dogs. All you have to do, just go look one time. One time. And I mean, actually watch. Watch the whole process. If you can get in anymore, which you probably can't. So in Iowa, anyway, I digress. In Iowa, if you already work at a factory farming operation, a slaughterhouse, a rendering place, an abattoir, whatever you want to call it, where your God's creatures are led to have their throats cut, their foreheads hammered, their entrails ripped out, their necks broken. If you work there and you see abuse, I guess this other stuff is not really abuse. I mean, beating, hammering, slicing, dicing, cutting, killing, butchering, that's not abuse. That's preparing America's food supply. There you go. If you work there and you film what you consider to be abuse, you're protected by Supreme Court rulings that place this under the First Amendment rights, language protected by the Constitution. So, of course, if you work there and film the atrocities, you might as well consider that to be your last day on the job. Okay, so you're gone. If you surreptitiously, ooh, isn't that a good word? Don't you love the word surreptitiously? It's a sneaky word. Even, what was that called, Kathy? Onomatopoeia, when a word describes what it sounds like what it's describing. Surreptitiously. Isn't that a sneaky word? I love that. Surreptitious. If you surreptitiously get into a factory farming operation and film the stuff, then, boobala, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Now, if you apply for a job, that's supposing you're an animal rights activist, or just that's supposing you're a real Christian, someone who is really concerned about the well-being of God's creatures. I mean, there's stuff in the Bible about that, you know. Don't ask Santorum or the rest of these murderous bastards because they wouldn't know what you're talking about. But let's supposing you're just an atheist, a Christian, a Buddhist, maybe Hindu. and you decide that the treatment you've heard about in this slaughterhouse offends you and should offend God. And if you're an atheist, should offend your own higher consciousness, and does. So you decide to do something about it. And you go apply for a job at the factory, knowing that you're not really there to apply for a job. You're really there to take videotapes. But you have to be an employee in order to do it. Not videotapes, I'm sorry. Video discs. So you get the job and go in. If you're caught doing that, you're guilty of a misdemeanor. And a second conviction makes it an aggravated misdemeanor. Doo-doo. That means you can go to jail for up to a year just on the misdemeanor charge. Aggravated misdemeanor, I don't know, what would that be, 2 years? So if you surreptitiously, if you sneak over a fence and go in and take pictures, then you are really in trouble. Really in trouble. Who's this guy? Joe Seng, S-E-N-G, a Democrat from Davenport, Iowa, a veterinarian and sponsor of the bill, said the bill approved this past Tuesday strikes a balance by discouraging animal activists from sneaking into livestock facilities, but doesn't prohibit someone who legitimately legitimately works there to report animal abuse. Joe Seng, Democrat from Davenport, says, quote, "I feel we did something that was needed. It more than anything sends a message, but I don't think it was real egregious to the animal welfare people," end quote. He said the livestock industry has legitimate concerns about unauthorized people infiltrating their facilities because they could track in disease or let mice in. Ooh. Oh, God. I don't know. I just thought I would pass it on to you. I don't have any, insight or astute comments that so many people are so used to hearing from this astute radio program. So I don't have anything to add to that, except that Iowa now has passed a law that makes it a crime to surreptitiously slip into a murder facility where animals who, you know, get offloaded from the semis and think, hey, what are we doing today? Oh, we're going to go here and hang out. Yeah, what's that ramp that goes up inside? Oh, that's just, we're going to walk up that ramp. What happens when we get inside? I don't know, but listen, sounds like a lot of fun. Hear everybody squealing up there? I hear a lot of squealing and whooping and hollering. Oh. Okay. So, what else we got? Oh, yeah, did you hear about, What's his name? Representative John Sullivan, an Oklahoma Republican, who is now advocating the murder of senators. The murder of senators. Now, we mentioned this, earlier this week, but it is such a sick story and shows the real nature of all Republican members of Congress that it bears repeating. So repeat it, we shall. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I believe in gun control. I've got all my guns under my control. I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders. Jackets and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way.
breaking news here from Jerry. The Associated Press is reporting that hashtag Andrew Breitbart promises God he, Breitbart, will release video proving Mary Magdalene is still engaged in prostitution ring. Really? Damn, he just doesn't stop, even when he's dead. Representative John Sullivan of Oklahoma. He's involved in the question, how will the Republicans ever pass that nice young man Paul Ryan's budget and finish ruining the country? You know, how's that? Paul Ryan, the guy from, where's he from? Wisconsin? Where's Ryan from? Wisconsin? I'm just drawing a blank. I really don't care. Don't, you don't even have to tell me. But Paul Ryan's budget that the Republicans in the House just wet their pants over. They just thought it was great, the right-wingers in the U.S. House of Representatives, because it thoroughly destroys the country and turns everything over to the 0.1% of the ruling class that knows that ownership of the country is rightfully theirs. But anyway, so how do you get the Republicans to pass that bill, everybody in the House? Because unless Republicans can simultaneously put together the presidency, a House majority, and a 60-vote Senate majority, it's unlikely, as has been reported here, it's unlikely that our government will ever be able to do all the things that the Paul Ryan budget suggests. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible to do this. And Representative John Sullivan of Oklahoma, Republican swine, has a pretty simple plan. You just got to go and kill a few senators who are blocking it. Just go kill a few. You just don't kill a lot, you won't be able to put together a quorum, of course. But here's Sullivan on the radio describing his frustration with senators who don't like Paul Ryan's terrible bill and his plan to take all these creeps out. He will just go door to door in his legislative flophouse and murder his roommates who disagree with him about politics. This is what John Sullivan of Oklahoma, Republican representative, said, quote, like I said, after this last election, the first order of business is pass a budget. Now, I believe that. I believe it. I supported the Paul Ryan budget and sent it over to the Senate. Now, I live with some senators. I yell at them all the time. I grabbed one of them the other day and shook him, and I'd love to get them to vote for it. Boy, I'd love that. You know, but other than me going over there with a gun and holding their head, maybe a killing a couple of them, I don't think they're going to listen. Unless they get beat. I'm going to go over there and kill a couple of them. Shoot first, have a reason later, right? Oh, my God. Now, you can find this story in detail or the Talking Points memo or Wonkette.com or TV News Lies or Op-Ed. You know, it's all over the place. All over the place. But there you go. Just walk into... Now, this is from a guy who had a colleague almost assassinated by a Glenn Beck listener, Gabrielle Giffords. So here's a former colleague of Miss Giffords from Oklahoma saying, well, just get a gun, go kill some of them, god damn. Of course, he's advocating the killing of senators, not representatives. So I guess Miss Giffords was a representative, and this guy is advocating the murder by gunshot of senators. Go kill them. That'll get their attention. Just shoot the sons of bitches. Shoot them down. Kill them. Murder them. You think the Secret Service might want to talk to this piece of human waste? Where did these people come from? You know, just like the judge, Richard Siebel, Chief U.S. District Judge for Montana, who suggested that President Obama's mother had sex with a dog. Had sex with a dog. And forwarded an email to that effect to his close buddies. A federal judge in Montana. Oh, and by the way, I've got the guy's phone number, that judge. So when we come back, I'm going to give you this federal judge's phone number. Have something to write down so you can call him up and tell him what you think. All right? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody would have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Shot,
because
everybody'd have a gun.
Makes
sense.
Seven out of.
Tell me again when I've been to the river and I've taken the edge off my thirst. Tell me again we're alone and I'm listening, listening so hard that it hurts. Tell me again when I'm clean and I'm sober. Tell me again when I see.
He's your nightly home. Ammunition against right-wing
tell
rhetoric. Get locked
again,
and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Over and over. Tell me that you
25 before the hour. All right, you've got your writing instruments ready. Now, I know you heard about this. You heard about it on this program, among other places. But the chief U.S. District Judge for Montana, a guy named Richard Siebel, C-E-B-U-L-L, sent what he considered to be a joke email from his courthouse chambers. That means from public government property, using his official court email account. That, well, here, here's the joke again. Joke. Little boy said to his mother, "Mommy, how come I'm black and you're white?" His mother replied, "Don't even go there, Barack. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark." I mean, how deeply offensive does it have to go before Caucasians in this country will hunt down somebody like this judge and have a real serious conversation with him about what he's doing? You know, supposing there was a black federal judge who said that about a white president who had a relative non-white descent. How long do you think it would take for especially the Southern Republicans in the House and the Senate to start screaming and jumping around like monkeys demanding that the black judge be impeached, removed from office? Have you heard anything like that about this filthy Caucasian Siebel? No, neither have I. Well, how about we all give this judge a call? How about we just call him up and very politely and kindly tell him that saying such things about the President of the United States' mother, and by extension, the President and his daughters and his wife and his family, the members of the family who are white and not white, who are black and not black, Well, I mean, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do? Shouldn't we all call this judge's phone number and just say, Judge, now, come on. You really didn't mean that, did you? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we just, I don't know, if 50, 70, 80, a million, thousand, trillion, billion of us called this filthy pig and just said to him, Judge, and don't talk nasty. I'll do the nasty talk on the radio program here. But don't talk nasty on the electric telephone. Just call him up and just say, Judge, do you think that was a nice thing to say about the president's mother? I mean, you don't say things like that about the president of Iran's mother. You don't say things like that about the president of China's mother. But you said it about the president of the United States' mother. Gee, Judge, is that being a red, white, and blue, true blue American? Were you a Boy Scout? Are you a Christian? Do you go to church? Do you love your Lord Jesus? Have you been baptized and born again in the blood of the Lamb? Have you? Oh, so sweet. You know, there's a commandment, Judge, about honoring fathers and mothers. Oh, I realize there's a thy father and mother in there. And Barack Obama's mom is not thy mom, but gee golly whiz, Mr. Judge Siebel. Is this in keeping with your Sunday school teachings and your men's prayer circle or whatever the hell that you do out there in Montana? Don't even go there, Brock. I don't remember anything. Hell, your old man could have been a dog. Nice. Here's the judge's phone number. 406-247-7766. 406-247-7766. One more time. 406-247-7766. And his name is Judge Richard Siebel. C-E-B-U-L-L. I'm sure he would love to hear from his fellow Americans. Don't even go there, Brock. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark. That is so damn funny. Oh, my God. Oh, that is so funny. Now, when Don Imus came within 1,000 yards of that kind of remark about some female sports players, I forget, basketball players, remember that? What'd he say? Nappy-headed hoes? And when Rush Limbaugh refers to a college student as a prostitute and a slut, and he wants her to post sex videos online because she testifies in favor of birth control access. But this, I mean, Imus is a clown. Imus is died 15 years ago, and somehow they have wires up his ass, and he sits there on the Fox Business Channel every morning, jerk, 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 jerk. And Limbaugh is so drugged and brain dead and addled from all his years of OxyContin and rolls of fat sloshing around inside his throat and his brain, we almost can't hold him responsible anymore. But this guy's a judge. This guy is a federal judge. Uh-huh. So give him a call. give him a call and perhaps, you know, just tell him, Judge, I don't know. There's just something about what you said that makes me a little uncomfortable. The phone number, one more time, lest we forgot to write it down, 406-247-7766. You might get a recording, but you can always, you know, leave a message. As far as Limbaugh, I hate, you know, I'm to the point where saying the word that is his last name is a little bit difficult for me. My throat starts to seize up. But this past week, all week as a matter of fact, hateful tirade after hateful tirade against a Georgetown law student, Sandra Fluke. He calls this woman a slut. He calls her a prostitute. He demands that she post sex tapes online that he could watch. My God, Premier Radio Network, shame on you for caring. I mean, how much money do you make? Is it worth it, Premier Radio Network? Is it worth it to have this kind of a slime on your network, Premier Radio Network? Calling a student a slut, a prostitute, demanding that she post sex videos for his enjoyment? Premier Radio Network, have you lost your goddamn mind? I mean, it's bad enough that you provide 7,000 outlets for this pig every day, and you have for years, but is this not far enough? What will it take, Premier Radio Network? What? What? Is there anything? Is there anything that Limbaugh can say that would make you not carry his show? Anything? What does he have to do? We'll be right back.
Charlie was running out the front door, running out the back door, flying on their feet, singing, Papa, oh, Mama, oh, come see what we have seen there. The mean individual stranded in a limousine. Everybody came running. Everybody said, Lord, 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 Lord. Everybody was gone in. They're gonna divvy up the reward. One. There came the siren and the flashing light. But the mean individual went back to the black night. Hey, 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 they wonder where to be. Because he left the neighborhood like a rattlesnake shedding his skin. Well, they search the rooms, they check out the groups, and then they...
To just drink it up.
What a terrible week, huh? The only good part was the elimination of one more filthy right-winger from this mortal coil. But other than that, what a nasty, nasty week. Limbaugh. You know, the Georgetown law student, Sandra Fluke, testified before a bunch of Democrats because the Republicans wouldn't let her speak, which is the way it's supposed to work. When you're dealing with fascists. And she said that she believes birth control should be covered by insurance plans, among other reasons, because oral contraception can be used to control ovarian cysts. so Rush Limbaugh jumped on her. And I don't know. Can you imagine, you women listening to the program, Rush is on his fourth or fifth wife and his sixth or seventh live-in victim. I don't know what it is that makes a woman come within 1,000 yards of him. He is physically horrible. I mean, you don't have to be a female to take a look at Rush and see that he is repulsive. I mean, his whole physical persona, the way he dresses, this hideous, bloated drug thing. I'm not talking about just being overweight. A lot of people are overweight and they're gorgeous. I'm talking about this bloated, almost unnatural look that he has. I guess it's from the drugs he's done. He's driven himself deaf. He has sent his housekeeper out to score drugs on the street for him. And Republicans, right-wingers love this guy. How? What is it about him? So he goes on the air and calls a woman a whore, a prostitute, a slut, tells her to post sex videos. What? How? I kind of lost my train of thought there. I just can't believe this guy. I was going to say to women out there, how does a woman approach this man? The women who have married him, is it, there's not enough money on earth, is there? To get a woman with any kind of self-respect to come anywhere near this obese thing? I mean, a lot of us are money-grubbing. Men, women, I mean, men, there are men who would throw their own mothers under a bus for the right amount of money. I'm sure there are women who would do the same. But we're not talking about throwing someone under the bus here. We're talking about marriage and what one assumes goes along with marriage, sexual relations. You know, Limbaugh and his victims have never had any children. So that could only mean one of three things. The women have been extremely fortunate and never gotten pregnant having intercourse with Limbaugh. That's A. B, they've gotten pregnant many times and had the fetus aborted. C, Limbaugh is impotent or at least sterile. Or D, the women are just beards for him, that he's really a pedophile. He only likes to have sex with children, but in marrying an adult female, it gives him the appearance. But you ever notice the other thing? Once these women enter into his nest, you never hear anything about them again until the time comes when there's a divorce, and then you never hear anything about them again. They sign documents. Here's your money. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't keep your mouth shut, you'll lose all this money, plus we'll have you killed. Keep your mouth shut about what you discovered being the bride of Rush Limbaugh. The bride. Say that sentence. The bride of Rush Limbaugh. Oh, yeah, you too. You get that gag thing going, oh, right? The bride of Limbaugh. No, Kathy, it's worse than a horror film. It's like something that you might discover at the bottom of a 300-year-old crypt, you know, a piece of parchment, and on it, scratched in blood, the bride of Limbaugh. But seriously, how does any woman with any self-respect, any sense of self, anything enter into America? Are there women who actually, I can't use this phrase, and with his name, I was going to say fall in love with and then add the word Limbaugh, but that doesn't work. There's no way that'll work. So I'm just curious. I know that men can do anything for money. Men can do anything. They can order the deaths of hundreds of thousands of human beings in order to satisfy their lust for power. Quickest example of that, of course, is Bush and Cheney. I know that women can do the same thing. You know, we're not that different, except in our plumbing, right? But what is it? Maybe you'll email me over the weekend, okay? And then I'll share the emails on Monday. What is it that would make a woman become a victim of Rush Limbaugh's? And do they actually agree to physical contact with him? Can you imagine his fingers on your body or his mouth? Oh God, I'm starting to creep myself out here. Kathy, don't, you know. Kathy looks like she's about to just, I don't know what you're about to do. Oh, don't turn green. But no, I've often wondered that. If Limbaugh had always just been single and made his trips to the Dominican Republic to molest children, that would be bad enough. But the women who enter into his nest and then disappear. I'll see you tomorrow, Monday night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Kevin Kinney, wherever you are, say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.